8 years ago this week, my family and I stepped off a plane from the Philippines, and 2 days later, I preached my first sermon as your new pastor. And I just wanted to take a moment before we begin this morning with our teaching to say thank you. Thank you for allowing me to come and be a pastor at this church. Thank you for making my family feel at home and giving us a place to belong. And thank you for your patience with me as I was trying to discover how to switch from working in a cross-cultural setting to coming back home to Northwest Arkansas. Thank you for listening to all of my stories about the Philippines. It's got to get old, I know. But it is what it is, that's life. And so I'm so grateful to be able to be here as your pastor. And I hope that we're still just getting started. I know it's 8 years, but I believe that this is where God has us, and I am looking forward to many, many, many more years serving here. I'm so thankful for our staff that God has put together, and Pastor John was not here this morning, and so that's why we had so many hiccups at the beginning with technology, because he handles so much of that. Pastor Ron is preaching all over everywhere, and so pray for some of our sister churches that are looking for pastors right now. It's a difficult time for them, and so we're thankful that Pastor Ron can go and be a blessing to those churches. So again, thank you for the opportunity to serve, and I look forward to many, many more years serving in this capacity. Well, we started a sermon series about 2 months ago on May 1st, and when we started this series, we began looking at Proverbs chapter 4. And so I want to invite you today, we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 4 again. It's kind of like bookends to this series, looking to see what God has for us in that place. Now, this passage in Proverbs chapter 4 that we looked at the very beginning, kind of as our introduction to this series on navigating life's relationships, we saw in Proverbs 4 verses 20 through 23, three big things that have guided us through this whole sermon series. The first of those is found in verses 20 and 21, and that is that words, wise words, are worth listening to. Wise words are worth listening to. Now in verse 22, it goes on and it tells us that these words will bring us life and provide healing for our bones. So as we listen to wise words, it invigorates us. It provides us with the life that we need in our day-to-day walks. And then in verse 23, kind of the focus of the overall series, both on Sunday mornings as well as our community groups, Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow spring." I'm quoting two different translations. "For from it flow the springs of life." Keep your heart. Guard your heart. It reminds us that we are what we focus on, and so we must guard our hearts. Now, if you've been participating in one of our community groups this summer, you've heard this verse over and over again. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. I'm quoting from the New King James Version, which is what our video series has been doing. And so each week you've been learning in those community groups how to build successful relationships together with Pastor Michael and his wife, Laura Fletcher. And so they've been teaching about these different things. And so in these small group studies, we've been discussing several skills that are necessary to build successful relationships in life. Skills such as learning to love others unconditionally, We've been talking about encouraging others by having faith in them, or in other words, believing in them more than they believe in themselves. We've talked about expressing interest in the things that they're interested in so that they will know that you love them. We've talked about being available, making yourself available to people in times of crisis, and establishing a person's worth by showing them respect regardless of their status or position in life. Showing respect to all people because we are created in the image of God. And then this week, we're learning about time and how that time is the key to unlocking a person's heart. And next week, some of you are on different schedules, so don't get too caught up in what I'm saying this week, next week. But next week, we're going to finish up that study and talk about communication and how that communication is the lifeline to every relationship. Because without communication, without spending that time communicating with one another, the relationship wanes and it struggles. Well, this morning our study together is going to be focused, like I said, once again on Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to begin here and then look at other Proverbs as we go. And if you've been reading through the YouVersion Bible reading plan that we suggested to you on the book of Proverbs, you may remember that the beginning of this book of Proverbs is filled with speeches from a father to his son. In the reading plan's devotional thought for this section on Proverbs chapter 4, it says this. It says, once the correct path is chosen, which is earlier in Proverbs 4, once the path is chosen, the father makes his son ready for the journey. He says, he stresses that following this path will require his heart, his eyes, his mouth, and his feet. So as we read through this passage right now, Proverbs 4, starting in verse 20, I want you to listen for how it requires our hearts, our eyes, our mouth, and our feet. The Bible says in verse 20 of Proverbs 4, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. So as we consider this passage and a couple of other passages from the Proverbs this morning, our goal is to discover six obstacles to becoming self-aware. Now this concept of self-awareness may be something that you're not necessarily familiar with. In an article this week from Forbes Online Magazine, the author of that article defined self-awareness. They said self-awareness refers to your ability to see yourself clearly and objectively. And I thought, man, that's a simple but very, you know, pointed definition. If we're talking about self-awareness, we're talking about being able to see ourselves clearly and objectively. But the fact of the matter is that's not how we are created. We don't see things clearly when it comes to ourselves. We don't see things objectively. We're all biased when it comes to looking at ourselves. And so the process of becoming more self-aware is the process that we go through to help us see more objectively. The article went on to say this. It was talking about successful companies. Obviously, it was Forbes Online Magazine. This isn't a spiritual article, but it went on to say this, that successful companies have employees that have fewer personal blind spots. And then it went on and said how a lack of self-awareness will impact your ability to make good business decisions and even affect the bottom line of the company. Now, that's all fine and good, but that's not what we're going to talk about this morning. But I think it's important to realize that this concept of self-awareness goes way beyond spiritual issues, but it affects every aspect of our life. You see, what I believe God wants us to focus on this morning is our ability to see ourselves clearly and to view our lives objectively. You see, it's a problem, both a spiritual as well as an emotional problem, if we are unable to have a clear and objective view of ourselves. It's good to know our strengths, right? But folks, it's also really good if we understand our weaknesses as well. It's, you know, we need to recognize our talents and the way that God has gifted us in our talents. But we also need to understand our limitations. Understanding limitations is vital to self-awareness. What do people see as virtues of our character when they look at our lives? Well, that's good to know, but we also need to understand what are our character flaws and how does God want to change us as a result. This is why it's so important that we guard our hearts with all diligence, because out of it flow the issues of life. The condition of the heart affects everything in our lives. So God has designed us in such a way, I don't know if you realize this, but God has designed us in such a way that we need each other. Now, some of you who would prefer to always be alone really struggle with that concept, I know. But then there are others of us that you know, if we're alone for any given, you know, any amount of time at all, it's like, I need people, you know. And it's interesting to see how God has uniquely designed each one of us. But the fact is, no matter whether we prefer to be alone or whether we are a people person, God has designed us to live in community with one another. We are to interact with one another by encouraging one another, but also by correcting each other. And we've talked about a lot of these things throughout this sermon series. The purpose of God behind our living in community with one another is so that God can conform us to the image of His Son. It's God's desire for us to be like Christ. And so in order to make that happen, you know what He gives us? It's a beautiful gift that God gives us in order to conform us to the image of His Son. You know what it is? Difficult people and difficult situations. That's what He uses to conform us to the image of Christ. Difficult people and difficult situations. That's why Proverbs 27:17 says that iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. The process of sharpening iron with iron is a hot mess. But that's what's required to get what the blacksmith is trying to get out of that piece of iron. God wants to help each, let me say, start over. God wants us to help each other in this process. He wants us to help each other to become more self-aware. Folks, everyone has blind spots. But that is why God directs our lives in such a way to help us see ourselves and to help us to grow up or to help us mature as a result of interacting with one another. There is a psychological tool that was created back in 1955. It's called the Johari window. And, you know, when I first was introduced to this concept of the Johari window, I thought, ooh, I wonder what that the name of the Johari window means. It must be something very, special or whatever. Well, no, it was created by Joseph and Harry. And so they called it the Johari window. Joseph Luft and Harry Ingham. And so they call it the Johari window. And you know, I knew that it was going to be almost impossible to see this on the screen. So I don't know if you noticed it or not, but the front of your bulletin actually has a Johari window on it. And so you each have a copy that you can hopefully read. I wanted to make it look a little bit artsy, so I didn't make it too pronounced that this is a graph, but it is a graph that we're going to look at this morning. You see, the Johari window is a simple and useful tool for understanding and training in several different things, such as self-awareness, personal development, improving communications, interpersonal relationships, and many, many other areas. It's a great model for us to use because of its simplicity, and also because it can be applied to a variety of situations and environments. So this could be applied both in a business world, but also it can be applied in your spiritual walk. And so I want us to think about this Johari window for just a minute as we move forward in our discussion. You see, the model works using four area quadrants, or you might call them windows. You've got four windows on your sheet of paper, or four panes of that window. Anything that you know about yourself and you are willing to share is a part of that upper left window, that open area, that area that is known to everyone, known by you, known by others. It is public knowledge. Well, any aspects that you do not know about yourself, but others within your group or your community, if they know that about you, but you don't know it yourself, that's what you would call a blind area, that upper right-hand window. Or we might just refer to it as blind spots. Things that you don't see about yourself or you don't see about your life that other people can see. So it's unknown to you, but it is known to others. Now, if you go down to the third quadrant, which is the bottom left, these are hidden areas. You see, there are also aspects about yourself that you are aware of, but you might not want other people to know about those things. Well, this is the quadrant that's known as hidden areas. All right? And then that leaves just the one quadrant left, and that's the bottom right, which is unknown areas. In other words, you don't know this about yourself. Nobody else knows this about yourself. It is unknown to all people, but completely known to God. And so God wants us to discover more about our blind spots. He wants us to disclose more about those hidden areas, and He wants us to grow in our understanding and self-awareness. You see, the balance between the four quadrants can change. You might decide that you want to tell something about an aspect of your life that you had previously kept hidden from others. That is disclosing, and that is revealing more to others about things that only you knew. And that moves that quadrant one window of the known. It takes away part of the hidden, and it increases the size of that window. It's also possible to increase your open area by asking for feedback from people. When feedback is given honestly, it can reduce the size of your blind areas. Maybe you interrupt people before they finish making their points, and that causes frustration, but you don't see that as an issue for yourself, and so people look at you as somebody that is frustrating to talk to because you're always interrupting. But you don't see it. That's a blind spot in your life. Sometimes you don't realize these aspects of your character until it is pointed out. And so you have to ask. and solicit, you know, feedback from people. So by working with others, it is possible for you to discover aspects that neither one of you even know. When you discover who you are and what you're like as you're working together in community. And so that's kind of an overview of what this Johari window is. You know, because we need to become more self-aware, we need to identify those blind spots. And we need to have fewer and fewer aspects of our life that we feel compelled to hide. So this morning, I want us to consider six things that we do, or maybe six things that we don't do, depending on how you want to look at it, that result in us hiding things in our lives from our friends and our family, or that cause us to be oblivious to problems with our attitudes and our character. Things that seem obvious to everyone else, but we don't see it. So if we'll work to overcome these six obstacles in our lives, we'll be on our way toward self-awareness and greater depths of spiritual maturity. So let's walk through these six areas. And if I may just mention one other thing, you know, I provided this picture for you to have an idea. But if you are interested, I also have one that looks like this. And that will be a little bit easier for you to understand. And I've got some copies of that. If it's something that you would like, I can give you one of those after the services are over. So let's look at these different obstacles. First of all, obstacle number one is not telling yourself the truth. Obstacle number one is being deceitful, deceiving yourselves. You see, once again, the Proverbs are telling us to be honest, to tell the truth. You know, in the initial sermon that I preached in this series, we looked at Proverbs chapter 12 in that sermon, and that sermon had 6 points. I don't know if you remember this, but it had 6 points, and 3 of those points were tell the truth. Over and over and over again in the Proverbs, we're told to tell the truth, and we're told about the severe consequences when we choose to deceive. Well, this morning I want us to look at it from a little bit different perspective, from the flip side, if you will. You see, for myriad reasons, we deceive ourselves daily. We do. It's just within our nature. We're deceiving ourselves daily. I don't know if you've thought about it or not, but nobody talks to you about you more than you do. Did you follow that? No one talks to you about you more than you do. You are constantly in your mind talking to yourself, telling yourself all sorts of things, and they may or may not be true. So what is the conversation like that's going on in your head? That's what we've got to figure out this morning. You know, I would like to ask you, what are your blind spots? I mean, that sounds like a great question to ask. What are your blind spots? But the fact of the matter is, it's not a productive question because you don't know. That's why it's called a blind spot, right? You see, we convince ourselves of things, talking through things in our mind, we convince ourselves of things that are outright lies. Like what, Brother Wade? Well, some of you convince yourselves that you are worthless, that you have no value in the scheme of God, or you have no value to this world or to other people. That is an outright lie. You are created in the image of God for a specific purpose. You are so valuable that He was willing to give His Son to die in your place. Don't let yourself convince yourself that you have no value. Another lie that we tell ourselves often is that our sinful behavior is really not as bad as so-and-so, so it's okay. Right? Have you done that? Well, I'm not doing that, so this is probably all right. That's a lie. Or here's another lie that we tell ourselves often. We tell ourselves that it is possible to change someone else if we will just do this, this, and this. Folks, you can't change anybody else. You can't change yourself without the power of the Holy Spirit. For sure, you're not going to change anyone else. But we convince ourselves, oh, but I love her so much. I know that I can lead her to love God. No. You're not going to change anyone. That's what we call missionary dating. It's not a good idea, kids. Yeah, it's not a good idea. Another lie that we tell ourselves is that, well, no one's ever going to find out about my secret addiction. I've hidden it so well. No one's ever going to find out about that. Another lie we tell ourselves is that, well, you know, I'm better than so-and-so, and I deserve such-and-such more than they do. No. No. Folks, if we are deceiving ourselves with one of these or some other lie that's going on in our head, chances are that people around us see right through us. You see, this is true of all people, but it's especially true of millennials and Generation Z. They can see fake people very, very quickly and clearly. If you're not truly authentic, if you are not truly transparent, they're not only going to see it, but they're going to call you out on it, and they are going to disregard you as having any impact on their life because of your inauthenticity. And you say, well, that's not fair. Well, it is what it is. God wants us to be authentic followers of Christ. To do that, we've got to stop lying to ourselves. But if we are lying to ourselves and everyone else trying to keep those hidden areas of our lives hidden, if that's where we are and that's how we're living our lives, then folks, we need to remember what Paul said to the churches of Galatia. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, Paul wrote, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will, from the flesh, reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will, from the Spirit, reap eternal life." Another way of saying this is found in Proverbs 11, verse 21, when it says, "Be assured, an evil person will not go unpunished." Folks, if we are hiding things in our lives and we're lying to ourselves about it and we're lying to everyone else about it, trying to keep it hidden, do not be surprised when God exposes you for that sin. You see, this process of getting rid of the hidden areas of our life have two ways of going. We can self-disclose and tell other people, this is what I struggle with. This is the difficulties that I face in my life. Or we can risk being exposed. Folks, it's not worth it. There's nothing more humiliating than being exposed for the person that you really are. Why don't we just share and say, this is where I struggle. Because you know what? The person sitting next to you, they're struggling with it too. Or they may not be struggling with that, but they're struggling with something. Self-disclose rather than risking being exposed. We have a choice. Now, the second obstacle is similar to the first, but instead of lying to yourself about something, this obstacle is that you are just plain ignorant. Ignorance is not a bad thing. Ignorance means you just don't know. It doesn't mean you're stupid. It just means you don't know, because you cannot know what you do not know. That's a profound statement, folks. Did you catch it? You cannot know what you do not know unless you do something about it. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 14 for just a moment. In Proverbs chapter 14 and in verse 13, it tells us, even in laughter the heart may ache, and the end of joy may be grief. In other words, things are not always as they seem. You might see someone who's laughing and having a great time, but on the inside, they may be dying from heartache or lack of self-worth. People and situations are not always what they seem. We have to figure out what's going on underneath the surface. You've probably heard this before, but did you know that an iceberg floating in the ocean, only 10% of the iceberg is visible. 90% of its mass is underwater. And you know, folks, our lives are very much like icebergs. We only let people see that upper 10%. Like an iceberg, we are all made up of deep layers that exist well beneath the day-to-day awareness of ourselves and others. And so when we are unaware, or when we are ignorant of what is going on, what can we do to fix that? How can we overcome this obstacle of not knowing what you don't know? Well, if you go back to the Johari window, And you look at those and you see, okay, this is what's known and this is what is hidden and this is what is the blind area. As you look at the Johari window, notice what we have to do in order to gain ground in our blind spots. It's right up there at the top, in the middle between the two windows. It's a very simple word that says, ask. Ask. We need to solicit feedback from others when we don't know what we don't know. We should ask others to help us see things from a different perspective. I mean, that's what it means when it tells us in Ephesians to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. You're going to be talking about that in your community group this week. But you know what it means to walk circumspectly? I love the word circumspectly, because it just gives you such a great word picture just by the way it's formed. Circum refers to a circumference, 360 degrees. Spectly refers to your ability to see. So when you're walking circumspectly, military would say, you know, walk with your head on a swivel. In other words, pay attention to everything that's going on around you. Be aware of what's going on. Walk circumspectly. When we are unaware, we've got to ask people to help us see. We have to ask people to help us see from a different perspective. And as we receive that feedback and see things from other people's points of view, our top left window begins to grow. And it removes those blind spots that we experience in our lives. and we'll become more and more self-aware as we come to see ourselves more clearly and objectively. So obstacle number one to becoming self-aware is not telling yourself the truth. Obstacle number two is not knowing what you do not know. Now let's look at Proverbs chapter 27, and we're going to read a few verses here in Proverbs 27 to look at our next two obstacles. Proverbs 27, let's begin reading in verse 14. The Bible says, "Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, will be counted as cursing. A continual dripping on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife are alike. To restrain her is to restrain the wind, or to grasp oil in one's right hand. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." You know, I can really identify with verse 14 here. I do not enjoy being awakened by a loud person early in the morning. Amen? And yes, my son said amen because, yeah, I'm a loud person, and it's just not fun, is it, to be awakened. And I love the way the writer puts it here. Whoever blesses his neighbor, whoever blesses his neighbor, you know, the person who's waking the other up with a loud voice may think they are being a blessing. But what does it say? It says, it won't be counted as a blessing. It'll be counted as a cursing. Why in the world would someone do this? Why would they go and be loud and wake somebody up in the morning? Well, I think there are only two reasons why someone would do this. And it's got, in my, you may think of something else, but in my opinion, it's only two possibilities. Either they are oblivious or they're just mean. You know? Either they don't realize what they're doing or they're just unkind and don't care. Well, for now, I want us to assume that this person is just oblivious. They don't mean to be inconsiderate, but that's what they do. And so obstacle number three is being inconsiderate because you are oblivious to what's going on. You just don't realize what you're doing as you're doing it. You see, people who are oblivious will rarely ask for help because they're oblivious, right? Did you catch that? That was profound as well. They're not going to ask for help because they don't even know they need help. This is why it's important to walk together with an individual and you help them to discover their blind spots. Okay? Now, before I explain how we can help someone or be helped by someone to overcome this obstacle of being oblivious, I want to go ahead and look at the next obstacle because they're very similar. So obstacle number three is being inconsiderate, but obstacle number four is being irritating. Being irritating or offensive. Did you notice what verse 15 says? I mean, these proverbs are filled with metaphors and word pictures. It said, a continual dripping on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife are alike. Now, here in this country, we don't have a lot of leaks in the roofs. I mean, sometimes we do, but we get them fixed quick, right? When you live in a developing country, those leaks in the roof are just more common. You know, and so, you know, sometimes you'll be, you know, sitting there and you hear it. Drip, drip. Drip, drip. And it really becomes annoying, doesn't it? Irritating. I mean, you know, I hate it when it's going to be cold, although I'd love to have it cold right now compared to what we're dealing with outside. But I hate it when it's so cold that you have to open your cabinet doors and make sure the water's running so your pipes don't freeze, right? And what do you have to hear all night long? dropping 6 feet from the shower head to the floor of the shower. Drip, drip. It's irritating. Well, the writer of Proverbs says that is just like a quarrelsome wife. Now, I'm not going to talk about the quarrelsome wife today because it doesn't fit the purview of our scope this morning. But the fact is, it could be like anybody who is quarrelsome. It could be like anyone who is irritating. It could be like anyone who is offensive and they don't even realize that they are. That's the issue here. It may seem unbelievable to you, but there really are offensive and irritating people out there that do not realize how they come across to other people. You may be thinking of an individual right now. Please don't call their name out. We don't need to know who you're thinking about. But have you ever considered the fact that they are the way they are and they may not even realize the way they come across? It's a lack of self-awareness. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, people who are oblivious will rarely ask for help. This is when it's important for us to walk together with an individual and help them to discover this blind spot. So what do I mean when I say help them to discover this blind spot? Well, if you look back again to the Johari window, you may notice some very faint arrows going from the top left window or the open area to each of the other three windows. Our goal is to use certain skills to enlarge our open area or the things that are known to us and to others. We want to grow that and thereby become more self-aware. So what are these skills that we use to help grow that top left window? Well, to remove blind spots, we have already talked about, you need to solicit feedback from others. You need to ask for help. You need to gain different perspectives, different ways or points of view that you can see things differently. I'll never forget one of the most impactful things that ever happened to me in my adult life was a conversation that I had with one of my mentors, Brother Jerry Kidd. I was meeting with him and the other missionaries in Asia Pacific, and we were all together and having meetings and doing all this and having a good time and everything. And then one evening, Brother Jerry pulled me aside. He said, "Brother Wade, I need to talk to you about something that is really important, and I don't think you even realize what's happening." I said, "Sure, you know, I didn't realize the bomb that was about to be dropped upon me, but I was excited about it. What do you got, Brother Jerry? Let me know." And in that moment, he shared with me, I actually mentioned this illustration a moment ago, I just didn't tell you I was talking about myself. He shared with me how that my consistent interrupting of other people while they were talking came across in a very, very bad way. He said, "People look at you and think that you don't care about what they think. They look at you and they think that you know it all, or at least you think you know it all. And that you don't care about them." He said, "Wade, I know you well enough, and I've known you long enough to know that's not your heart. But this is how you're perceived." I was floored. Completely floored. I explained to Brother Jerry, I said, "I can tell you why I do it. I knew that I did it." That's the funny thing. I just didn't know that it was a problem. I said, "I'll tell you why I do it." I said, "When I think of something, if I don't say it immediately, I'll forget it." What resulted then was a series of tests with some psychologists, and now I'm on medication for ADHD. All because of Jerry Kidd. And can I just say, you know, I mentioned earlier that this is our 8th anniversary here at Temple Baptist Church. If it were not for my medication for ADHD, it may have been cut way shorter, because you may not have put up with me. And you know what? Let me just jump out there and say, because I'm in a continual process of trying to be self-aware, you may be thinking you need to up your medication. Touche. I need you to help me see that. Because folks, everybody has blind spots. Everybody. I can assure you it's better than it used to be. But I can also assure you I've not yet arrived. None of us ever have, and none of us ever will. Well, let me move on. So to remove blind spots, we need to ask for help. Or if you're fortunate, you'll have a mentor in your life that will give you that help whether you ask for it or not. But to reveal hidden areas in our lives, to open that window further down, we need to practice transparency in our lives. We need to get accustomed to self-disclosure or sharing our secrets. Now, you just don't go and share your secrets with anybody, okay? Don't take this the wrong way. But it's important that somebody knows what you're dealing with and what you're struggling with. It is never healthy to hide something from others because you know it's wrong. And that's what a lot of times these hidden areas are. We need to practice transparency and self-disclosure, or we are going to risk public exposure. And then, if you notice, that's the arrow going from the left to the right and from the top to the bottom. But do you notice there's an arrow that's going at an angle there? What is that? Well, folks, one way that we can increase self-awareness is by shared discovery. When you're walking together day by day with your friend and your spiritual accountability partner, and you're dealing with issues in your life, and you come to a place where you discover something that they didn't know and you didn't know, but you discovered it together, that expands the window exponentially. Because you're revealing both blind spots and hidden areas all at the same time. You can't do that by yourself. You need people. You need community to make that happen. By working with others, it is possible for you to discover aspects that neither one of you may have ever appreciated before. So if we want to become more self-aware, we need the help of others in every aspect of potential growth. That's why Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. So obstacle number three is, obstacle number three is being oblivious. Obstacle number four is being offensive. Let's look at the last two, obstacles 5 and 6. Obstacle 5 is no desire to change or having an unrepentant heart. Let's go back and look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 14. Well, no, let me read 25 first. In verse 25, it says, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. In verse 14 and 15, it says, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. So here we have two concepts that are given to us in Proverbs chapter 4. It is the concept of walking in the right path and the concept of walking in the wrong path. And we've got to make a choice between which path we're going to take. You see, these last two obstacles to self-awareness deal primarily with our attitudes and our never-ending stubbornness to get our own way. In verse 25, the father encourages his son to keep his eyes forward and stay on the straight path, which is the way of wisdom or the way of self-awareness. In verses 14 and 15, he's warning his son to avoid that bad path, that path of the wicked. The problem is that all of us are sinners and we all face temptation. And what does James tell us about temptation? James 1:14, it says, "But when each person is tempted, when he is lured and enticed by his own desire, then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death." You see, folks, we are lured away by temptation, but that's not the devil making you do it. We are lured away by our own desires. Scripture tells us that we must stay focused on the straight path. The problem is we're constantly taking detours off the path that God has laid out for us. We know what the Bible tells us to do, but we fail to obey its commands. We have no desire to change. We are unrepentant. We are stubborn and stuck in our ways because we want to be. You know what James chapter 1 later in the chapter goes on to talk about in verse 22? Do you remember this? It says, "But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." You see, James 1:22 through 25 reveals the struggle inside each and every man's and woman's heart. When we look into God's word, we see clearly what he wants us to do, but we don't do it. You see, when we're in the presence of the Lord, hearing his word taught, such as a situation like this morning, when we're listening to the word, we're ready to give our lives for him. We're ready to do everything for him and commit fully and yield completely to the Lord. But then we walk out the doors. As soon as we leave this place, we forget all about God's purpose and plans for our lives. Just like the example we find in James 1:22 through 25. The man that looks into the mirror intently, studies himself to see what he looks like, and then turns away and walks away and totally forgets. That's what we're like too often. God is speaking into our lives through his word, showing us the way we should live, showing us where we should go, showing us the straight path. But we're unwilling to change. We walk away from him and walk away from his word, and we go on about business as usual without any regard for the truth that we have been confronted with. So in a nutshell, we are unrepentant. We are not listening to the word. And for sure, we're not living out what so many of you refer to as your life verse that's found in the previous chapter, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. So obstacle number 5 is no desire to change or being unrepentant. Obstacle number 6 is no desire to obey. We have no desire to obey. We are unruly or rebellious. You see, God has set forth the path for us, and he tells us that we should not veer off his path, nor should we turn our hearts toward evil. And actually, in our passage, he also talks about turning our hands and our feet toward evil. We've got to stay on the path. In other words, we cannot be distracted by our sinful desires. You see, folks, in order for this to not be an obstacle, in order for us to not desire to obey, in order for us to not desire to change our lives, in order for that to happen, it's a matter of trust. We can't do it on our own. It's a matter of trusting in the Lord. Trusting Him with all of our hearts. It's a matter of not trusting in our own thoughts and feelings. Because, folks, we can't trust our own thoughts and feelings because our hearts are predisposed for evil. Rather than trusting our own thoughts and feelings, we need to obey Him and in everything and stay on that path that He has set forth, that He has laid out for us. Solomon wrote these words, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." That's how we ought to be living our lives. That is a life of self-awareness. So how do we change this ungodly trajectory that we are on in our lives? How can we get rid of these obstacles and become people who are more self-aware? Well, going back to the Johari window, we have to be willing to open up to others and share with others those hidden things in our lives. Or maybe the word would be better, to confess those hidden things to one another. We've got to find a trusted accountability partner. Someone that we can really be completely transparent with. Or maybe a small group. But whatever it is, you need to have somebody that you can open up to. And as we self-disclose, as we reveal more and more about ourselves to others, our self-awareness will grow. And we will mature in our faith. And when those times come up where there's a blind spot, when we're open and transparent, people will feel comfortable coming to us and helping us to see that blind spot. So why does all this matter? Why does self-awareness matter? Well, folks, I think it's pretty simple. And that is, you cannot be spiritually mature and emotionally immature at the same time. You cannot be spiritually mature and emotionally immature. Men, that's why we gave you this book last week. This is an introduction to talking about some of those things. And it will give you the opportunity in the back of it to have an assessment of your spiritual walk. How healthy is your spirituality? You see, people who know a lot about the Bible but don't know much about who they are or how they come across to people, they are not spiritually mature. They are spiritually knowledgeable. And that's not our goal. Our goal must be to grow, to be conformed like Christ, who was completely and totally self-aware. I don't know what you may be dealing with in your life and in your walk today. But I encourage you to think about these six obstacles. And think about which one of these do I struggle with. And then remember your windows. Because the only way you can grow in your self-awareness is either by asking for help or disclosing or telling others about what you're dealing with. And in that, we will grow. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for the journey that you've had me on for so many years, growing in not just the knowledge of your grace, but also growing in my understanding of who I am and the sinfulness that I experience and am so unaware of at times. Lord, help me to see things from other people's points of view. Help me to be transparent in my walk and in my faith. Lord, help us all to grow in our maturity and in the process of being conformed to the image of Jesus, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the gift of eternal life, the ability to be conformed through the power of your Spirit. And Lord, now as we are about to sing a song and stand up and think about these things, Lord, I just pray that you'll help each one of us to consider, what do I need to do today to change the way I live? Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.